It was a beautiful dinner. Mr. Naaman had a lot of front and center there. He did a lot of great work for the community. You could all tell him how proud of him we all are. It went and went and went and is still going. So Baruch Hashem, you guys saved me. I can't say this week is my favorite parsha because I'm not going to be speaking about the parsha, but one more public service announcement. A tremendous welcome in the last sicha of the Zman to Mr. Levkovich. Thank you again for joining us. Kamocha Kein Yirbu. Okay, so Pesach is arriving, and chametz is known as something terrible. It's equated with avodah zarah, chametz is gaiva, haughtiness. It's equated with some of the worst ills of society. Don't eat chametz, it's evil. However, there's a problem with this approach because after Pesach, we can eat chametz. It can't be all that evil. There are things that conceptually represent really bad things. The pig, for example, represents that which is has its split hooves. Externally says, I am religious, but internally it doesn't chew its cud. Its externals and internals are not the same. So, that is a concept that Hashem doesn't approve of, and therefore it's prohibited to eat such a thing forever. Treif, things that die naturally, nevela, things that are not shechted properly, anything that is a fish, which is too much of an aggressive type personality fish. It's a fish that preys on too many others. Now, the Torah is going to forbid it. We don't like that approach. Therefore, it's forbidden for how long? Forever. So if chametz was always connected or equated with bad attributes and characteristics, why is it ever permissible? It cannot be. On the other hand, it's undeniable. You go through the Torah and there are indeed many psukim and many drashos that do equate chametz with some of these concepts such as idol worship and haughtiness. How could it be that it is good and how could it be that it's terrible? As a matter of fact, on Shavuos, we have a build-up to Shavuos, from Pesach to Shavuos, from what's called the Karban Omer, second day of Pesach. And we build up for 50 days to bring a Karban on Shavuos called the Shtei Alechem, where we take two loaves of chametz and put it on the Mizbeach. Chametz cannot be all that awful. I saw an interesting question by Rav Yosef Yozel Horovitz. Rav Yosef Yozel Horovitz was the founder of the Navardic school of Musar, the Navardic based Medrash. Navardic, as opposed to Slobodka, there were two different approaches to Musar. Rav Yisrael Salanter was the Rebbe of both, and in Slobodka, they held everybody's amazing, everybody's wonderful, and you're amazing, and you're wonderful, you're a prince. Now, of course, if you're a prince and you're royalty, then your friend is also a prince and he's royalty. You're no better than he is. You have to treat the other one also with that. And Navardic, they held, you're nothing, you're really lowly. Of course, you're not lower than the other person. He's also lowly. So they both agreed in principle with the concepts of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, between man and man, but their approach between man and God differed night and day. Navardic was hardcore, you're nothing, and always work on humbling yourself. The Sefer of Yosef Yozel Horovitz wrote, Sefer Madrega Sa'adam, it actually, I was expecting this fire and brimstone approach, very cheery Sefer, very beautiful, a lot of wonderful Divrei Torah. And his first essay on Adam Arishon, he asks the following question. He points out, Adam Arishon messes up. And what does Hashem do when Adam and Chava eat from the Eitz Hadat? Hashem does nothing. He waits. Let's see what happens next. What's going to be Adam's next move? I'm not going to react yet. And the cameras are on, and we watch Adam. And Adam and Chava's next move is, they recognize that they're unclothed and bare. Now you've sinned. That's wrong. Who told you that you were unclothed and bare? Who told you that idea? Where'd you get it from? It shows that you have fallen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry only after there's a ramification from the error. The error occurred already a while before the eating of the Eitz Hadas. Hashem did not get angry at that moment. Why not? Chet HaEgel. The nation turns to Aaron. Let's make a golden calf. They start the process. They get the gold. Aaron creates the item. Hashem gets angry? No. He waits. Wait. And they silence heaven, and all cameras are on the nation. What's going to happen? Let's watch. The next morning, they get up, vayakumu letzachik. They ate, they drank, and they got up for frivolous behavior. Chet, sin, now I'm angry. And all of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. Why didn't you send Moshe down already a day or two ago when they were planning this stuff? What are you waiting for? V'hayayim shamoa. Pen. Tishkachas. Maybe, yishamru lachem. Pen. Yiftel levavchem. You have to be careful. Maybe your hearts will be swayed. V'sartem in aderech. And you're going to veer off. And Hashem, you're going to worship idol. Why are you waiting till I worship the idol? Why do you keep waiting till the ramification occurs? Step up to the plate, God. Ribbono shel Olam, tell us you're angry and upset with us already when you see it coming. What are you waiting for? Achan, he eats from the spoils of the war when they attack Yericho. Hashem, attack then. Tell us then that you're upset. Instead he waits. Watch this. And the Jews go up to a battle. We lose 36 men. Now I'm angry. You went up to the next battle. You didn't do tshuva yet. Now let me show you what's going to happen. What are you waiting for constantly? I'd like to suggest the following principle. Chametz is that which blows up, it expands exactly where you're holding. If you have, for example, a certain characteristic and it's deep inside you, you haven't yet gone to Rav Herzig for him to read it, and it's buried right there inside. And I'm struggling with this issue. And I'm going to make believe that it's not going anywhere. I'm keeping it in control. I can guarantee, as you get older, that little struggle will blossom and become a major struggle or a major problem. I don't mean to scare, but I do mean to educate. If there is a little problem and it goes undealt with, it goes undetected, which would be perhaps even worse, it will blossom and only become that much worse. We think, no, as we get older, we're going to mature and we'll be able to totally take over and control it then. That is unfortunately not the way our brains and abilities work. Rather, as you let it sit, it actually builds up and grows and becomes a bigger issue. And I'll give you an example. Imagine, I could imagine it very well, you have one of those children at home where, let's say at 5 years old, theoretically, he's got to be the first one to get Kiddush, the first one to get the bracha, first one to get Hamotzi. I'm not talking, of course, about any of my kids. And if that stays as is, for sure when he is no longer 5, but he's 25, he is not going to need to be the first one getting the bracha, kiddush, hamotzi, etc. I'm pretty sure we would all agree he is not going to push his way at 25 years old to be the first one to wash his hands. I'm pretty sure we could all agree about that. Chances are. But if he doesn't mature and overcome that characteristic, that need that he has at 5 years old to be the first, when he's 25, he won't be the first to push his way to wash, but he will be a ruthless, cutthroat businessman who will have to be the first one. He won't care, perhaps, about honesty, because he will have to be the first. He won't care about morals and ethics, because I've got a personality flaw that I don't recognize even as a flaw. This is who I am, and I'm going to go for the gold, because it's the only thing that's important. How many people get hurt in the way? That's none of my concern. And that's much cooler at 25 years old than being the first one to get the blessing. Every single thing that goes undealt with, and it's a little struggle at this point, you let it become chametz, I'm just not going to deal with it, I can guarantee it will be worse. And every aspect of righteousness that you choose to actually pursue, and it's a burning desire of yours, you let that rise, I can guarantee, will become even greater righteousness, and it will blossom as well. Rav Pam, Zichrono Tzadik Livracha, was known as one of the greatest people for emes, for pursuing truth and honesty. They asked Rav Pam, actually, how do you have a Rav Pam? How do you get a Rav Pam? A funny question. And Rav Pam said, I'll tell you, when I was growing up, my mother couldn't get the word sheker out of her mouth. That word, it was just too hard on her mouth. She couldn't say it. If it would, there would be things that are true, and then that's nisht emes. It's not emes. She couldn't actually say, that's false. That was hard. Hard on the mouth, hard on the ears. She couldn't get the word out. When you have someone whose whole life devotion, she only wants to hear truth, emes. So then you end up with a Rav Pam. The beginnings are very, very important. And I'll explain why that is so relevant. In other words, comes Pesach, you have to choose to pursue righteousness. You have to make a decision. If you don't choose, and it's just a hope, you now have a heart that is conflicted. I've got the things I love and the things I don't necessarily love. The things about Torah I want to learn. I want to sing Zemiros. I want to daven. I want to keep kosher. And it's all these hopes. And so many times, boys leave here with a list of hopes in their mind. But that's where it starts and that's where it stops. It's a list of hopes. If it's a list of hopes and in your heart, you also have all those things that you love that are not included in that list, that are actually diametrically opposed to that list. Well, I still like the parties. I still like some of the other things that life has to offer. So now, where do you stand? And I'll point it out very simply. If you never made a decision to choose the righteous path, you never made a decision to choose MS, when conflict hits and adversity is facing you, all those hopes are gone. You don't stand a chance if it's just a hope. You actually have to make a decision. And I'll give you a number of examples. There are many scenarios where in business you are going to be faced with a decision to be honest or dishonest. Guaranteed. Every single person here is going to have to make that decision. And I'm going to tell you when I made that decision in a major way in my life. Ramat Beit Shemesh was new. We had just been here for about a year and a half. The Merkaz, the center, was brand new. And it was my turn to take the girls, babies, both of them shopping. It's always a pleasure taking 2 1-year-olds shopping. And it was one of those lists that my wife sent me to buy this. One of those. And I got the 2 kids in the wagon. And the stuff in the wagon kind of just covered and towered over them. There were kids that were just adding weight but could barely be seen at this point in the wagon. And it was stuffed. And I don't know if you've noticed this. You probably have. The guys that try to wheel the cart, the wagons, first of all, there's not a single wagon that works. They all have cockeyed wheels. The next problem is the designer of the sidewalks thought that if they bank them, that'll be really funny to watch. I am sure there are video cameras put by the builder of those sidewalks. He's just getting a great crack out of this. Like, watch this one. And you see, like, people trying to, like, grab their wagon. And so I had one of those great moments. It was so heavy. I could not control this thing. And I'm getting awfully close to the curb. And there was a car there. And my wagon then went off the curb. Baruch Hashem. I saved the kids. Can't say the same about the eggs or the bottles of wine. The kids are good. Almost bat mitzvah now. And the car that was right there got a little scratch. My luck. The lady whose car it was walking to her car at that moment. Slicha, she said ever so nicely. Slicha, my foot. What? That scratch? Oh no. That is not me. Not this. She's like... It was a little undeniable. And I'm looking. There are 2 spots. It would be great to actually bring everyone to show you. There are 2 spots that were actually off limits. And the reason why is because everybody's going to run off the sidewalk with their wagon. Now, it's actually part of the runway there, the curb where it goes lower, so that way you can get up the sidewalk, and that's illegal parking. 2 spots that are actually illegal parking, and usually people park there. So I said, well, actually, you know what? I'm not responsible. You parked illegally in this spot. You know why it's illegal? Because the government, in their finite wisdom, realized that people need that spot. And you parked there. I'm not responsible. And she yelled at me. And I stood my ground. I was very proud of my realization here. And we went back and forth. I don't remember exactly how this happened, but I got her name at some point. And I walked off. And she said, fine, if you're convinced, ask a rabbi. So I went ahead and I asked the rabbi. And of course I put it entirely from my perspective. She wasn't there. And I went and asked my rabbi, the one I opened the shul for him. I'm very close. I'm the president. You know, he's not going to paskin against me, especially the other side's not representing their case. Oh, yeah, sure. You're not chayiv. 1 week later was Purim. And I started having flashbacks. You know what? I don't think this was honest. I don't think I was actually honest here. It cost $100 to fix the scratch. At that point in my life, that was a lot of money. 400 shekel is still a nice amount of money. Stam, just for naught. But then, it really hurt. There's no way I'm going to go to Olam Haba and the Rebbeinu Shlom is going to say to me, Sanu, how'd you do with life? I did great. I walked off of that case. That's right, I left that lady with a nice dent. But I got out of it. Smooth talker. The Rebbeinu Shlom is going to be so thrilled. Is that what I really think? Where are my morals? At that point, was a huge change in my life. You got to be scrupulously honest. But that's a decision at that moment that was made in my life. If there's ever any doubt at any point later on, I want to do the honest thing. I don't want anything but honesty. But if it was just a hope, and then conflict hits that hope, bang, finished. The thought, the hope, is gone. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, when his wife passed away, a beautiful story. When his wife passed away, there's a minhag that you go to the spouse, the deceased spouse, right after the burial, and you ask forgiveness. You say, please forgive me for anything I've wronged you. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach did not do this. He did not approach his wife to ask for forgiveness. His student said, Rebbe, do you want to go ask Mechila? And he said, no. I don't think I have anything to ask Mechila for. I don't think I've done anything wrong. And I don't think my wife has done anything wrong that she would need to ask me for Mechila. And I don't think I need to ask her. I heard that story and I said, wow, that's going to be me. Me and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. I am so going to do that. And then I got married. And then I found out, wow, are there worlds apart? Just another difference between me and the Gadol Hadar. Why? The ratzon, the will, the desire was there, the hope was there. What went wrong? What went wrong was with the first moment that all of a sudden I felt my feelings were hurt. Ho ho! Put them up! I can get angry. All those wonderful hopes, it's finished. You're finished. Until one day. One day is all it takes. One moment when you actually decide this is not going to be me. That is going to be me. Once you make that decision, that will blow up and expand. And it's going to be beautiful. Tremendous righteousness. That's chametz that you bring on the Mizbeach on Shavuos. The chametz of Pesach, when you're just starting out, I'm just going to hope and sit and let it rise. Let my feelings go. So there's a beautiful teaching by Chabad. Melech. I don't know which Rebbe said this. The word Melech stands for Moach, your brain, Lev, your heart, Kaf, your Kaved, your liver, total materialism. It starts with the Neshama, starts with an acceptance through your knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You then bring that into the emotion, and then you bring that into the actual material world. If you reverse it, let me do what I feel, let me do what I want, I'm going to be materialistic in nature, and that's going to be starting with the cup. Then I'm going to actually add an emotional component. Then let me add an intellectual component. That's called Kalim, which is the word for curse. King, where you give royalty to the Ribbono Shel Olam, or you're living a cursed life. That's the idea. There is a boy who asked a great question at a Q&A just 2 years ago. And he's asked the following question. He said, we are living in yeshiva now. And in yeshiva, it's so easy to feel Jewish and frum and Torahdik and growth-oriented. Because even if I sleep till 4 p.m., I wake up and I'm still in yeshiva. I'm living in yeshiva. If I don't learn a word, but everyone around me is talking Rashi Tosfos, I feel yeshiva. I feel frummer. I don't even know if I feel bad when I lose minyan. Because I still feel I'm growing. I feel yeshiva. But when I leave here, how do you rabbis expect us to take it with us and grow or even stay afloat and not fall? How could we not fall? It's impossible. We're not going to be in yeshiva. So I said, I'd like to take this one. And I said the following analogy. I've heard a Dvar Torah, the following Dvar Torah. It's not a Dvar Torah, a saying. Something that's preached on too many occasions. Weddings, Sheva Brachas, all around weddings. I've heard this idea countless times. Maybe it's countable, but I haven't counted it. And it goes like this. That night of your wedding, it's so magical and wonderful and mystical, and you're so in love with each other. Remember the love that you have for one another right now at this moment. Make sure you take that with you for the rest of your lives. And everybody in the audience is like, oh, what a nice part. That is inane. I really hope that when you hit your 10th anniversary, you love your wife way more than you did at your wedding night. I really hope each day of your marriage, you're going to love and develop it much, much more. Well, how can I love her possibly as much as the wedding? It's only downhill from here. Because there you got all the magic and the band and the friends and the food, the hall. It's obviously all downhill from here. Who says that? Then why get married? So then when you find the right girl, all you got to do is say, Cindy, I've been thinking, you know, you two, we two, we've been developing beautifully. And I'm afraid that means I'd love to marry you because you're definitely the right one. So that's why we're going to stop seeing each other. It's all downhill from here. Nobody says that. That's crazy. Take that moment. You leave the wedding and you try to come up with a plan. How are you going to devote yourself to further growth? I left a year or two in yeshiva, and I went to YU. YU. I was working like a madman. Besides for Torah, and besides for secular studies, someone somehow hooked me into NCSY to be a regional director, then a chapter advisor. It was just crazy. I was going to Shabbatons, running programs. It was insane. I later heard Rav Aaron Lichtenstein point out, don't try to do three things during those years. Pick two and do them well. I heard that after I finished college. It was too bad. So, Rabosai, it was very difficult. So therefore it's all downhill. The learning I did, I grew. The learning 3 years later in YU, I understood more Torah and it was sharper and better. And I knew more, I knew how to learn more than I did when I was in yeshiva. I was more committed to tefillah than when I was in yeshiva, because it's 3 years later. Oh, but it's not all day. Okay, you're going to move on. You don't live in your wedding either. You're going to move on. You're going to go to work all day. You can have other things going on. You spend time and you develop and you work on the things that you decide, that you choose. That's what I want to put my all into. I want to develop that. And I'll give you an example of what you guys are up against. There's a boy that called after his Shana Aleph year. He was working in the summer in the mortgage business. and he got a great account. So the boss was very, very proud of him. He invited him into the back room. Great. Listen. You did good work. I'd like to treat you to a night out with the boys. Where is that night out with the boys? I'd prefer not to have to spell it out, but it's not an appropriate place. It's one of those places where there are girls not well dressed, we could say, that are there to entertain the men. So if you decide, no, that's my little guy that I'm going to leave there, and I'm just going to wait and watch it become chametz, then you'll find yourself there. No problem. No doubt about it. That's where you will find yourself. That's that little guy. If you make a decision right now, I am not doing those things, I am not going to use women as my viewing pleasure, that's not why the Borei Olam created them, so then that's a decision that you just made. A decision, let that blossom. And then you become a tzaddik. Another, a guy in this community, about 15 years ago, was in college ball. He was going for football. His coach happened to have trained a number of Olympic gold medalists for basketball. And this was the coach that he had, and he wanted to go to the top. Very athletic fella. A guy that davens here in this base medrash on Shabbos. And he went, and was not religious, and he's part of the team. And the coach says the following. If you want to be great, then you're going to work with every drill and every exercise that I give you, and you're going to do extra, and this is the routine that you've got to do if you want to be great. But if you want to be the best, then you got to use drugs. If you had a hope that you're not using drugs, and then you encounter your life's dream, and you're told that if you want to be the best, you're going to use drugs, your hope is gone. If you make a decision, I am never using that stuff, you're good to go. No one's going to sway you. And if I have a hope, I am going to daven. But then your friends come and they say, hey, what do you think? It's time to go out. Well, I didn't have a mincha. How does that sound with the guys? That's not going to sound cool. It's time for me to go to Maariv. Maariv? Yo, pal, what are you talking about? What's with hanging out? We're going out now. We're not waiting for your mincha and Maariv. What are you doing? If you haven't made that decision, and it's just a hope, you're gone. And I can just tell you that I have a friend. He went 2 years to Eretz Yisrael. He never really made any decisions. He loved the dynamic. He did a lot of fun things in Israel. Learning wasn't necessarily one of them. And he had a lot of hopes. And his very close friend growing up in high school, his very close friend, I happen to know as well. And he called me once and he said, what do you think of Mark? And I said, I don't know. I don't know what I think of Mark. I'm very happy with him. I mean, he came back with like 30 pairs of tzitzis. And he talks about learning. He said, is Divrei Torah? I'm pretty happy, actually. He said, well, I'm not so happy because he left me in the dust. But don't worry. This boy named Brad. said, you give me 6 months, I'll have him back at McDonald's and parties with me. I wish I could say that Brad was a fool, but he seemed to be more of a Navi Emes than a Navi Sheker. And 6 months later, he was back eating non-kosher, and Torah was very, very far away. And the reason was just this very, very simple point. It's a very, very simple point. I am not giving a Musar Shmooze. I'm trying to simply educate. You have to have your eye on the ball. If you have your eye on the ball, and you've got a goal that you're pursuing, and your eye is set on it, you will attain it. You know exactly what you want to do, and you're not going to get swayed. It's like getting that rebound, and the whole team is behind you, and it's open, the court's open. And it's just you, the ball, and the basket. You're dribbling down that court. You, the ball, the basket. They could scream all they want. You're totally focused. You are going to get that in. I know what I want. Nothing is going to sway me. I know. I'm determined about that. But Rabosai, you got to be careful with what it is that you want. And you got to decide. Because if you don't make that decision, I'm just going to wait it out and see what happens. Let me see if I fall. Let me see if I grow. If you want to grow, I'll give you an example of what it means. You make a decision right now. When I leave here for vacation, I want to grow in Torah learning. Okay, so what are you going to do about it? Well, you know what? I'm going to set up a chavrusa before I get back. Before I get back to Atlanta, before I get back to Denver, before I get back to Chicago, before I get back to wherever it is, I'm going to actually call that shul rabbi. Before I go, I'm going to call my friend in Torah Trager, Erasher, wherever, and I'm going to set up that chavrusa now for the day I land. 1 hour a day. Why not? I'm going to call the shul rabbi, find out, is there any chesed in my community that I could get involved with? I'm only 18, I'm not so experienced, but I just spent a year where I felt really empowered with certain chesed things. What could I do? There are loads and loads of things. But you got to make that decision. You got to make the phone call. You got to set it up. And if you're determined, this is what I'm going to do. You're going to set it up. You're going to make it. It's going to happen. If I say, I hope to see myself learn, I'm going to leave here. You know what? Over vacation, how many guys have left these doors, Pesach vacation? I'm going to do a Masechta over Pesach Zman. I'm going to do a Masechta. Well, let me tell you something. How doable is it to do a Masechta? I could tell you. At the end of my Shana Bet, I had the great Zechus that my father came to visit. And in 2 weeks, Yomam V'layla, morning and afternoon Seder, full morning afternoon Seder, my father and I learned together and we finished Maseches Makos in 2 weeks. It's 24 blot, 12 blot a week, 2 blot every day, including Friday, not Shabbos. I did Chazar at night while my father visited the family members that he had obligations to. How doable is it in 4 weeks of vacation to finish a Masechta? Tremendous. But you got to work it out. You got to just make the cheshbon. What am I doing? If I want to stay frum, well, what am I going to do when I meet up with those friends? And I'll give you a question I got just 2 nights ago. We're stuck no matter what we do because I'm going to be frum and stark. I'm going to go back to my community and they're going to all say, oh, look who flipped out. So they're upset with me. And if I'm not from her, and I'm not stark, they're going to say, oh, look, what a waste. He went to Israel. He didn't do anything. And no matter what, I'm not going to win. Everybody's going to be upset with me. If I from out, if I don't from out, no matter the whole world. Make a decision what you want to be. But decide and work on it. And Mir Tashem, that chametz that develops should be the chametz of Shtei Alechem. The chametz of beauty, of righteousness that could be brought lifnei Hashchina.
I stopped it already. Thanks.